Welcome, and thank you for joining us as we examine the scriptures for the season of Advent. Advent is of pagan origin, but at some point in the early church history it was Christianized. The pagans used to celebrate the feast of the coming of the emperor, or sun, S-U-N, and with the church it became the feast of the coming of the sun, S-O-N. We cannot determine with any degree of certainty when Advent was first celebrated. The preparation for the Feast of the Nativity, Christmas, could not have been held before Christmas itself was celebrated, and therefore could not have been before the 4th century A.D., because at first the Church had to make sense of the resurrection and then work backwards to the birth of Christ. Advent begins with the Sunday closest to the Feast of St. Andrew the Apostle on November 30th and embraces 4 Sundays. The first Sunday may be as early as November 27th, which gives us 28 days of Advent, or as late as December 3rd, which gives the season of Advent only 21 days. There's a twofold meaning of Advent. First, to prepare for Christmas, and we celebrate his first coming that has already happened. Secondly, this remembrance is to direct our mind and heart to await for Christ's second coming at the end of time, but we wait not in fear and trembling, but in hope and joy. Culture is 95% need meeting. We want to get those things that make us happy. And the Gospels remind us that happiness is only found in God, not in the world's idols. There is a threefold accent in liturgy which relates to the Jewish concept of time, where past, present, and future is intermingled. We remember the past. The Son of God was born to the Virgin Mary. We remember today that Christ is always present in our world, especially when we receive communion, and we look forward to tomorrow when he returns in glory at the end of time and at our own death. We use purple during the season of Advent as it is a season of penitential nature. In Advent, we repent to have a conversion because we hope. In Lent, we repent with deep penance for all the times we have failed to live up to our part of the covenant. The season of Advent is a lighter shade of purple than you would find during Lent. We use purple as it is a combination of purple as used in the Roman Empire. In the northern part of the Roman Empire, purple was the color of a penitential nature, while the use of purple in the southern part of the empire denoted royalty and joy. Purple cloth was expensive and used very rarely. So the color purple had special meaning in the church. We repent, but we repent with joy and hope. This liturgical year, we will be reading from the Gospel of Mark, which leads to some difficulties, as it is the shortest of the Gospels. In fact, during the season of Advent, it is only the first two Sundays where we will read from Mark. The third Sunday, we will read from John, and on the fourth Sunday, we will read from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Mark has often been called the Gospel of Mark based on the teachings of Peter. Mark was originally called the interpreter of Peter's teaching, but what is meant by interpreter? Did he take the teachings and preachings of Peter and edit them into story form? Scholars are undecided on this. But what we do know is that Mark was not one of the original 12. He is mentioned as a cousin of Barnabas. He could possibly be the same Mark that we read of in the Acts of the Apostles. But there he's called John Mark. Following the custom of the time, he goes by the name John, which is his Jewish name, and Mark, which is his Roman name. Our best guess is that this gospel was written in the mid to late 60s. There is talk of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which occurs in 70 AD, and this talk is in the future tense. And certainly if the destruction of the temple had already happened, the meaning would be much more explicit. Who's it written for? We don't know for sure, but our best guess is that it was written for Gentiles throughout the world, especially those Christians in Rome. The Gospel of Mark spends a lot of time explaining Jewish customs and traditions in areas of importance to the Jews. But this Gospel is the earliest account of Jesus, the man, who he is, and what he taught. It was not particularly written to give a life history of Jesus, but to answer particular questions of a particular community, especially a community that was undergoing suffering. Mark is written to let the people know, hang in there with hope and faith. This suffering will be used for the joy to come. There is no time to waste. Jesus is coming back soon, which is why the Gospel of Mark does not even begin with the traditional nativity story. Instead, Jesus is preparing for ministry already. Eyewitnesses are dying out of who Jesus was and what he did. Stories were going around, but to preserve this oral tradition, the gospel was written down with a theological slant. It is a time of persecution, both within and without the Jewish community. The Jewish authorities are against this breakaway sect who followed Jesus. And this was occurring both in Palestine and in what we call the diaspora, Jews throughout the Roman Empire. Diaspora refers to those Jewish families that did not return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. The author knows that Christianity is not just for Jerusalem and the temple cult. In fact, in places, the text is actually anti-Jerusalem and anti-temple. Mark feels that we are becoming over-dependent on temple rituals and the word of the Torah, and that people are not living the word in their hearts. It was written probably in Galilee, for this had become the new center of Christianity, and it was from Galilee that missionaries went out to spread the good news. Also at this time, the Roman government was looking for scapegoats for the troubles of the empire. An easy way out was to accuse the Roman Christians and so persecute them. And in the thinking of the time, persecutions were a sign of the end times. Others were against them, and they felt that God has abandoned them. This gospel is written to assure them that this is not the case. God did not abandon them. Besides being the shortest of the four gospels, Jesus is also very emotional and very human. It is also the most dramatic. It is direct, abrupt, very picturesque. There is no time to wait. Some people refer to this gospel as a passion narrative with an introduction. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 15 is simply a prologue, a preparation for ministry. And then beginning with chapter 1, verse 16, and all the way to chapter 8, verse 30, it is a listing of the events that leads Peter to proclaim, "You are the Christ." In these seven chapters, there are 12 examples on how we are to live, how we are to share in the mission of preaching and healing that Jesus gave us. Beginning with chapter 8, verse 31, to chapter 15, verse 47, are the events that lead to the crucifixion and to the centurion proclaiming, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Chapters 8 through 10 are the core of the message. The mystery is revealed. And what is this mystery revealed? That Jesus is the Messiah. But he keeps his miracles quiet, not to deny them, but for us to look beyond these miracles. He is more than a miracle man. And if we look, we will see something greater. Jesus is always on the go, surrounded by people. If there is a miracle, that's fine. But that's not the thrust of the gospel. What we are to take from the gospel is his relationship as the Son of the Heavenly Father. Even in chapter 1, verse 1, he is proclaimed as the Son of God. Demons throughout the gospel know Jesus as the Son of God. Twice in this gospel, God the Father will affirm Jesus as his Son, and even the centurion proclaims this message. The gospel of Mark is short and sweet and to the point. As time goes on, and people realize that Jesus is not returning immediately, we have longer accounts of the life of Jesus. Hence, we have the narrative of the Nativity in both Matthew and Luke. By the time the Gospel of John is written, people are very familiar with the story of Jesus' birth. The Gospel of John does have a Nativity narrative, but actually it is a summary of the entire Old Testament. The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh." This is the purpose of the season of Advent, to remind us that the Messiah became one with us and dwelt among us, and shows us that no matter what happens to us in our lives, Jesus is there to help us.